This is Gojo and Golic.
Welcome back to Gojo and Golic, our final ride on Radio Row here down in New Orleans on a Friday. So we talked a little bit about NFL honors last night, the awards that were handed out. We dug into Josh Allen getting the MVP, some of the other awards, Coach of the Year, Kevin O'Connell, Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jared Verse. But let's talk about Comeback Player of the Year, Joey B.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, second-time winner. Second time nominee for comeback player of the year.
No, he's second time winner.
Second time winner.
So since 1998.
Which, what?
Yeah.
He was like, not an award you really want to be winning twice.
I was
going
to say, it's not a great award to be winning.
He acknowledged it, but it was like.
Joe Burrow and Chad Pennington, since the award was reintroduced in 1998, the only players to win it twice. And yeah, to Jesse's point, not great if you're the Cincinnati Bengals or Joe Burrow. Obviously, led the league in passing yards, led the league in passing touchdowns, was third in total QBR. It was a phenomenal MVP caliber season that was just sort of undermined by the rest of the team.
You just think about that offense. You had the leading passer in the league, the leading receiving yards in the league, and Ja'Marr Chase in the league. Well, wait, did Trey Anderson end up leading in sacks, or did he get passed?
I believe he did, but I'll check that out now.
I'm not sure if he got passed because they had the triple crown.
Vamp.
Of leading statistics, but Joe Burrow, that is not an award you want to keep winning.
Yeah, it was 2021 when he won it last time. It's just
But at least it's off of an injury, because it used to be if a guy got cut and was a backup and came back, he'd be eligible, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It should be off of an injury, which unfortunately for Joe, he's had a few major injuries.
Yeah.
Just for the point of parliamentary procedure, Trey Hendrickson did win the sack title by 3.5 sacks. Miles Garrett, the next closest at 14. Trey Hendrickson, 17.5 sacks this season. So the Bengals had great individual performers. unfortunately, did not translate into the team success that they wanted here. The one that jumped off to me, how about Jared Verse? The first-round pick for the Los Angeles Rams since 2016.
Whoa.
They mortgaged their whole future for the present for so long, and when they finally got back in the first-round pick game, ho-hum, they picked not only the Defensive Rookie of the Year, but then after that, go down and draft Braden Fisk. I forget if he was in the back end of the first round or early in the second round, but then he is also a finalist for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So once the Rams decided they were doing the draft again, they did the damn
draft
again.
And think of the guys they got, the Kobe Turners of the world before that.
Yep.
I mean, the youth they have. We actually did not bring up Aaron Donald's name a whole lot because of the way this defensive front was playing. Aaron Donald's a walk-in Hall of Fame, one of the great. He belongs in the big room of interior D linemen in the Hall of Fame. But Jared Verse had 4.5 sacks, and I do think there has been a shift in the NFL where pressures has become bigger than sacks. He had 76 pressures. He was fourth in the league in pressures. He had 20 more pressures than the next closest rookie. So, I mean, he was just an absolute terror. Had a great year, but you're right. Once they started drafting again, after it worked, they mortgaged all the draft picks.
Right.
They won a Super Bowl, so it worked. Now they're making great hay with their draft picks.
Yeah, that part to me was amazing, going back and really taking into consideration how long it had been since they had. I mean, we had seen them just fully take the first day of the draft off, just not even show up for night one stuff. Sean McVay's in the sexy house in Los Angeles. They're making beach parties because they got all this free time, and now they actually get back down to brass tacks, and it works out very, very well for them. Other awards, Coach of the Year, Kevin O'Connell goes out and gets it done. The Vikings win total, a single-digit win total early in the season. He ends up winning 13 or more games for the second time in his 3-year career as a head coach. Doing it this year, obviously, with the backdrop of the injury to J.J. McCarthy that ultimately has Sam Darnold leading a renaissance season. And unsurprising here, thought maybe late in the season Dan Campbell, especially with the head-to-head win, had a chance to snatch this. That surprised me a little bit.
And again, it's a regular season award, so the Detroit losing in the postseason would have nothing to do with it. Yeah, I was surprised. Again, it's not one of those I'm not going to scream to the high heavens. I think one of the more surprising ones is Defensive Player of the Year.
Pat Surtain the second?
Pat Surtain the second. The DB for Denver, I mean, he had only, not even near the top in interceptions. He had 4 interceptions, but he always covered the top receiver. And according to NFL Next Gen stats, he surrendered the fewest receiving yards of anyone at his position this season, allowed the second lowest passer rating when targeted, and had the lowest expected points added per target So, he had a monster year. And a lot of times with DBs, it may show up with interceptions that year. You get a lot of interceptions. But also, if they're not throwing your way and you're shutting a guy down and you lead the league in least amount of yards given up receiving, you know who notices that? Offenses.
I think that's why having the ways that we have to measure this now, the stats you mentioned, yeah, both acknowledging that pressures are an important factor in disruption, all the things that you just read about the deep analytics we can have about guys that cover on the back end, these positions that, like O-line, are a little bit harder to quantify in certain instances and in the past, we now have a better opportunity for that. So was great stuff by him. Awesome to see defensive backs get their due. Offensive player of the year, Saquon Barkley, unsurprising. We mentioned third in the MVP, but Jaden Daniels takes home the offensive rookie of the year after a sensational rookie campaign that led the Washington Commanders all the way back in the vibes department, all the way to the NFC Championship, and led Jaden Daniels all the way to Radio Row here at Super Bowl 59. We had a chance to catch up with him. Here he is. Jaden Daniels, star rookie quarterback for the Washington Commanders, former LSU Tiger, great, back down here in the boot, man. How's it feel to be home?
It feels awesome. Second time in a couple months. I was just out here when we played the Saints.
Sure.
So be able to come back, man, and enjoy the town again. You kind of miss the food down here.
I can imagine. A little bit different going up to D.C. there, not quite the same flavor to it.
Man, it's great food in D.C., man. But, down here, man, I miss some seafood.
It's different food here, that's for sure. Something we all, when we come in and visit for the week, we overindulge and then we, pay for it.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely, man. So, all right, you get to come back down here and reflect a little bit in that way. But talk to me about how you're feeling coming off of year one here. Obviously, a phenomenal run for you guys. Fall just short of getting to this game, which I don't know, was that a disappointment? Are you able to appreciate what you guys were able to put together in year one? Where are you at on how you've processed this first season?
A little bit of both. Disappointed because you're right there and we believe that we should have an opportunity playing this game. Obviously it didn't happen, but we believed it, so it was disappointing, like, man, one game away. But we appreciate the season that we had, man. Just a joy that we brought back to the DMV.
So you make the move, you finish a great college career, you make the move to the NFL, and it's like a seamless transfer. Talk about the beginning of it, taking over, being named the starter when it was, you became your huddle, and just going from college to the pros and the differences.
Man, it's you got to earn the respect of your teammates, and that's the main thing that Washington allowed me to do, is go out there and earn it. So when I got announced starter, it's kind of like, okay, everybody knew who I was, what I was about, and just went out there and continued to build each and every day. And it takes time, but as far as that, we just went out there and we just put our head down and grinded every day.
Brian Thomas Jr. has a great year. I mean, watching those guys, and we saw they showed up for you in the postseason. How cool was that to feel that support from your brothers?
It was awesome. They surprised me with that too. So I know they had brought it up, and it's just been awesome now to compete with them our rookie years. We're trying to compete against each other. Like, okay, who wants this award? Who's going to get it? Who's going to be the best rookie? So it's been dope just to talk to them and see their transition too.
We go through talk about growing pains as a rookie, especially a quarterback who have to know everything. And C.J. Stroud kind of broke the curve last year by playing incredibly well. And you did it this year with a number of number one high draft choice quarterbacks. But it's not a perfect transition, I'm sure. What were the biggest hurdles for you to overcome taking over an NFL team?
One, you just got to grasp the locker room. Especially being a young guy, you're going to a locker room where somebody might be 34 with a family and stuff like that. So it's kind of just trying to close that gap of what y'all have in common. And it's the main thing, man, how long an NFL season really is. People don't understand that until you actually get into it. Whereas, like, I remember watching college, like, last game of the season, and we're like week 9. So,
yeah. Is that rookie wall real?
Kinda. I mean, I wouldn't even say like a rookie wall. It just depends how you go about it. But it's like, it could, if you don't reset or know how to reset, like DQ told me, like, man, you got to go out there and reset. You work so hard. It's like, you got to take some time for yourself so you're able to keep pushing through it at the end of the year. But if you can have a rookie wall, I think it's just a mindset type of thing.
College games going to 15, 16 games a year now, though, with the 12-game schedule or 12-team playoff.
Now it is. Those kids might be more prepared than us.
Yeah.
You mentioned DQ there. Why was Dan Quinn the perfect coach for you guys? Why was it able to work so well in year one?
Man, nobody everybody I talk to, man, they have nothing but the utmost respect for DQ. You know, just who he is as a person. You know, he cares about his players, and I could attest to that, man. He cares about everybody in that locker room, no matter if you're the star or you're a practice squad. He treats everybody the same.
How does he show that to you? Like, how did he show you he cared about you at quarterback?
Man, for me, he just, like I said, he made me go earn everything. And, you know, nothing was given to me. You know, there was times where it's like, okay, I want to go out there and be able to compete. But he was like, man, nah, you got to earn it. Like, there's guys in this league that earn their stripes, and you got to go out there and earn yours.
If you're serious about sports betting, you need the GBank Visa Signature Card. Hi, it's Gil Alexander. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you put your own money on the card. GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases, so you're typically saving up to 3 to 5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. With GBank, you're also earning 1% cashback rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, while also earning 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible purchases. And for a limited time, you'll receive a $250 bonus after you spend $1,000 in the first 90 days. Competitive interest rates, earning cashback rewards, and now a $250 account opening bonus. If you're serious about sports betting, you need the GBank Visa Signature Card. For more information, go to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank.
$1,000 in eligible purchases over 90 days of account opening. A $250 statement credit be applied to your account. Purchases do not include cash advances, balance transfers, foreign transaction fees, late fees, interest charges, credits, returns, or adjustments. Subject to credit approval. Terms.